right, our last song by P.P. Bliss that we're singing today is Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. In the 1800s, a long time ago, when a ship was entering into a harbor, at night it would have two sets of lights. One was the big one that everyone could see, and then it had the lower lights as well. And on this particular incident, have the lighthouse, and then it would have the lower lights guiding someone into the harbor. On this particular incident, there were no lower lights burning. They had the it was really fine. Not the big one was going, but nothing was going down below, and the ship tried to come in anyway, and 200 lives were lost. 200 lives were lost, and there was a spiritual application for this, let the lower lights be burning. And the preacher that preached on this, D.L. Moody at the time, he made the application that we need to be shining as lights for Christ, because you never know who needs, or who we might know that no one else knows, that needs our shining to show them how good Christ is and who he is. So let's let our lights be shining. You know the verse in Matthew, let your light so shine that they may see your good works. There's also a verse in Philippians chapter 2 that talks about that we shine as lights in a dark world. So it's a good thing for us to be shining, because we never know who needs that light around us. So I won't ask you to stand yet. Let's sing this song, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Lightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights on the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, while the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights alone. The shore, let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor faint and struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Would you stay, remain standing? We're going to sing one last song, and after this, the children may go across. I hope you know this song. Yeah, you got it. Okay, don't read. Don't read what's up there. I was reading what was up there. Don't read what you're seeing, okay? Let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. You ready to go? Here we go.
B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, I'll take his own for me.
What does that spell? What does that spell? Thank you, Bible. Children, you may go next door. That one didn't work. All right. I'll ask you to turn your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. If you don't want church to feel routine, pray before you go. Worship on the drive there. Get there early. Invite someone. Bring your Bible. Take notes. Talk to people. Sing loud, especially when the pastor's doing the song leading. Join a team and serve. And then apply the message to your week. I thought that was a good little thing there, and so that's why I shared it with you. We're going to begin reading with verse number 10 of 2 Timothy 3 today. And we'll skip back into this again, but this will be our last time that we actually, for right now, touch 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. Verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Continue thou in the thing which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." This morning, I want to talk to you about Timothy's continuing on. Timothy's continuing on. And in verse number 14, Paul admonishes, he tells Timothy, he basically commands Timothy, "Timothy, I don't care what else has happened, I want you to keep going." And you know, as I was thinking about it, Paul, here he is, he's about to die. He knows, and we're going to talk about that in the next chapter, he's about to die. He knows he's going to be a martyr for the Lord. And he's wanting to get, this is his final letter that he's writing to Timothy, and he's trying to get all this in. And he's wanting Timothy to, he's wanting the best for Timothy. You know, as I thought about that, he says unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. He must have led Timothy to the Lord, or had such a close relationship to him that there was just that bond there. And you know, with your kids, I don't care how old they are, whether they're 6 months or 6 years old or 16 or 26 or 36 or 46 or 56 or 66. You know, your kids are always your kids. And I realize there's a, you don't, you know, the older they get, you don't pop them on the bottom to get them to calm down. So, you know, you talk to your kids different.
as they grow up. But there's that care. There's that yearning. I like that word, and that's a fitting word. There's that yearning. Well, Paul had that yearning for Timothy. He saw all the hardships that were coming in verses 1 to 9. He said, people are going to be difficult. There's perilous times ahead. He said, Timothy, there's persecutions ahead. People are not going to like the fact that you preach the Bible, that you tell them that they're sinners, and that there's life in Christ. They're not going to like that. He also tells them that there are perverse teachers. There's teachers that are teaching the wrong thing, that teach easy belief, that if you'll just give enough money to church, if you'll do this, you'll be right. So here he is, he's doing his best, and you know what, there comes a time, and this is a very wonderful message. It was very helpful to me because, you know, we can do all we can do. And we want to make our kids and we want to help them all we can. But you know what? I'm going to steal my own thunder a little bit. They have, just like us, they have the Bible. And you know what? In the long run, that's what Paul is having to rest. He's having to rest. He's not going to be there to help Timothy. Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of these people. Don't like he was earlier. He's going to have to let Timothy rest and know God's word and let that change him. Paul was passionate about Timothy continuing on. Timothy, keep going. Keep being faithful. How? What would prepare him? Well, first thing, we're looking at the scriptures. Continue on because of the promise of scriptures. Notice in our verses today, we're starting in verse 14. He says, Timothy, keep believing, keep following. Even though these difficult things happen, keep going. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them, hast learned them. Well, where did he learn them from? 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Who is it that had taught him the Scriptures? Not his dad. His dad was a Greek, and the idea with that is that he didn't believe in the Lord. He learned from his mom and his grandma. And I remember reading about a man that's really well known. He's a prolific writer. And someone asked him, why did you believe the Bible? You know what his response was? Because my mom said it was true. Now that's not the last. That's not the only reason. But his mom said, it's true. His mom said, you need to be in this book. This book matters. Can I say to us, now some of us didn't have Christian family. We don't have our mom and dad, our family, our siblings, and no one else in our family knows the Lord. You know what? If that's the case, the Lord will give you much grace. You be the first, and you shine the light. But for us that know Christ as Savior, if the Lord has given us children, let's guide them in truth. He says, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures your whole life. You've known them your whole life. In fact, he describes them, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the point we're making right now is, Timothy, continue on because of the promise of Scripture. Well, what's that promise? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Lord has given us His word. Timothy, I'm gone. I'm going to be gone soon. You're going to have to live for the Lord. You're going to have all these things against you. But I'm confident. I'm confident that you can live for the Lord. I'm confident that you can keep on keeping on because of the promise of His word. Well, what's that promise? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God gives us His word to perfectly furnish us. And the idea of that word, to perfectly, thoroughly furnish us, God declares that the Bible is a super abundantly able to help us with any problem that we face in life. Now, we can argue with that if we want to. We can, you know, like the verse that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's times that we might find ourselves wanting and we argue with that verse. Well, Lord, are you letting down in some way? No, He's not. He's providing what He knows we need. Have a look at this next quote. Sorry for the two quotes here, but have you ever wondered if the Bible really is really able to help you with all your deepest problems? Have you struggled to know what to do with your life and wish you had some special word from the Lord? Have you ever thought to yourself that the biblical teaching on, and you named the subject, needs updating? Have you ever wished for a more direct, more personal revelation than what you get from slowly reading through the Bible? Have you ever secretly wanted to add something to the Word of God, you know, that just to make things safer? Have you ever wanted to take something away to make the Bible more palatable? Have you ever assumed that the Bible doesn't say anything about how to worship God or how to order His church? Have you ever felt like the Bible just wasn't enough for living a faithful life in today's world? Have you? The writer goes on to say, if you said yes, you're probably like just most everybody else. When Jesus was telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you remember the rich man. Lazarus died and he went into the bosom of Abraham. And then it says that the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Do you remember he asked for something to drink and he says no. But then he says, Father Abraham, would you send someone to my father's house? I've got five brothers that I don't want to come to this awful place called hell. I don't want them to come. Send somebody from the dead. That'll get their attention. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They've got the Old Testament scriptures. The rich man said this. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And that's what we think. If one came back from the dead, surely they'd repent. Now, you know, we're a side item. Jesus came back from the dead. Did they all repent? They did not. But this is what the Lord said. He said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And the point I'm trying to make with these verses is that his word really is enough. His word really is. Timothy, be faithful. And though I can't be with you anymore, you're going to have God's word. And if you'll just be in God's word, if you'll be reading it, and if you'll be following it, the Lord is going to help you. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain unto how we can know that we have eternal life, and how we can live life on earth. He wants us to be in heaven when we die, and he also wants us to know how to get along with one another and how to have confident living in him, be at peace when everything else is in turmoil around us. He says he's given us everything through the knowledge of him. He wants us to know. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He wants us to have hope. No matter what's going on, and by the way, whatever you're going through, whatever the Lord is allowing in your life, it may be to get you to come to him as your personal savior. He may be trying to wave you down and say, you know what, you need to stop here. Have you considered eternity? But there's times the Lord lets the struggles come, and they just keep coming, even as God's children. And we say, well, why in the world, Lord, what's up here? We just got to trust him. For patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. By the way, don't lose your hope. As long as God is alive and he's not going to die, our hope is in him. Remember when Paul asked the Lord, it must have been a serious thing for Paul to pray three times, Lord, will you take this problem I'm having, this thorn in the flesh, away? Pray three times, Lord, will you please take this thorn in the flesh away? This is really bothering me. And people a lot smarter than me think it was his eyesight. Said, Lord, can I just stop having these problems with my eyesight? And this is what the Lord says. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. You know what? I am just absolutely confident that no matter what you go through today or tomorrow, that the Lord will give you grace. Let's don't be the ones that say, and when we do say it, let's say, sorry, Lord, I knew better than that. Let's don't be the ones that say, I can't do this anymore. Well, if he's got you there, he's got you there, unless he just whoosh you up to heaven. He's got a plan. And it may not be to remove you from whatever that is, but he's got a plan, and we just got to trust him with it. He'll give us the grace. How? Don't know. He will. His word gives us grace. His word promises forgiveness. You ever felt guilty? You ever felt guilty about what you can do, what you've done? You know, his word, it gives us hope. It gives us strength. It reminds us of his grace that's there every day. It also reminds us that he gives forgiveness. If we confess our sins, if we say the same thing about our sins that he does, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's also willing to give us wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And you know what? There's times in your life when you're going along and you need God's wisdom, and you're praying and you're asking the Lord, Lord, will you please give me wisdom as to know which way to go here? And you know what? Unless the Lord just bullets one down, hey, Kelly, this is what I want you to do. Which he usually doesn't do that. Just pray about things, consider things, and get advice about things. But what you believe the Lord would have you to do, just keep going. His word gives us wisdom. Now, some of his wisdom doesn't make sense to us. when our enemies swear at us, the old flesh wants to swear back. But the Lord says, no, you pray for that person. You pray for, don't pray that the Lord will kill them. No. You pray for the Lord to bless them, that he will bring them closer to him. You pray, and you know what? What? His wisdom's against ours sometimes, but he wants us to. Not only because of the promise of Scripture that he will meet our needs, but secondly, because of the provider of Scripture. You'll notice that P is capitalized. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The verse before that says the Holy Scriptures, they're unique, they're different than any other book. Why? Because he is the author of them. They are breathed by the inspiration of God. That doesn't mean that as I read the Bible, sometimes people say that, oh, yeah, the Bible's an inspiring book. That person is an inspiring person. They really just give me the goosebumps and all this stuff. Well, the word inspired means God breathed. That it actually came out of his mouth. Sort of like Genesis chapter 1. That was my other Bible reading. I thought about doing this week. And God said, let there be. Came out of his mouth, and it was done. God's word, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's from him. It's not necessarily that it'll inspire us, because y'all will look this up sometimes. Jeremiah 36, the king, they had been doing the wrong thing for a long time. The Lord promised judgment. Well, some of the people found the scroll with the law on it. And they read it, and they were so concerned. They were scared. They said, judgment, it's coming. Goodness gracious, we need to do something. They took it to the king, and they said, King, have you read this? And they read it to him, and as he was reading it, there was a fire on the hearth before it. Came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, that he cut it with the penknife, cast it into the fire. And you know what? Those words to the king there, God just gave them back to Jeremiah. Those were not encouraging. Those were not inspiring words to the king. Yet they were true. God's word is from him. In fact, 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecies, the Old Testament scriptures, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried forth by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the scriptures say, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which shall effectually worketh in also in you that believe. There's a power, and we're going to talk about that next, but there's a power in his word. His word will accomplish that to which he sends it to do. There's a power in his word. because it's His Word. Notice thirdly, the power of Scripture. Continue on, Timothy, because of the promise of Scripture, the provider of Scripture. Well, what's this power? First of all, it can make us wise unto salvation. It can give us wisdom. The Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. It's able to give us wisdom. Now, how many of you, don't need any hands raised, how many of you thought Christianity was absolutely stupid when you were a kid? Or anyone that went to church on Sundays instead of playing ball or something else, that was just, what in the world? Why would you do that? And then the Holy Spirit talks to your heart, and the Scriptures remind you, hey, you're going to meet God one day. Where He says, the Lord really loves you. He makes you wise. He shows you need Christ as Savior. And that's one of the powers of God's Word, is it's able to show us that we need to be saved. Timothy had heard the Scriptures from the time he was a kid. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. He could have written so many more things, but the things he wrote so that we would know we're going to heaven. You know what? I'd be so disappointed. I'll be honest with you. I'd be so disappointed if everyone from here and everyone here and everyone here, if when we get to glory, that some of us are not there because we haven't believed in Him. He's written us these words so that we can know that. Do you have that assurance this morning? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The verses we mentioned first thing this morning. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And He said, then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So, first thing it does, it can make us wise to salvation. Secondly, the power of God's Word. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. For what? First, for doctrine. Is profitable for doctrine. Now, there was a couple of people, the word doctrine means the things that we believe, the things that we base our it's our learning. You know, you guys that are in school, you're learning all this doctrine, you're learning all these things to help you get a foundation, whether it's maths or science or English, to where that you can talk to people well, so that you can think through problems well. You're getting this foundation. Well, Paul says, you know what? God's Word, it gives us a foundation for living life. And sometimes we don't have that foundation right. In Acts chapter 18, Apollos came preaching the Gospel of John. He said the same thing that John the Baptist preached. And Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and said, Apollos, you're a good preacher and everything, but you need to update your. Jesus has come. He's died. He's resurrected. He's the one you need to be preaching on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the believers there that John was writing to, or that Paul was writing to, excuse me, they thought the Lord had already come. And so here they are. They're afraid the Lord's come. The Lord's come. And Paul says, come down, come down, come down. So what we believe, it's important to get it right. He doesn't want us to make what we think our doctrine. He doesn't want us to be carried about by every new thing that comes our way. Doesn't want us to be moved around by every new fad in Christianity. Just stay firm. You remember the Bereans in Acts? They studied the Word to see if the things that the preacher said were so. That's what the Lord wants us. He wants us to know. Well, what kind of things does He want us to know? Well, He wants us to know, He says, till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to what you believe. What you learn and believe matters. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing you shall save yourself and those that hear you. Your doctrine's important. Why? Well, you think about creation. Think about the fact that God created the world and the fact that He's still in control of the world. It says everything. Second thing I want you to notice. We need to commit our lives to Him as a faithful Creator. That we can give our lives to Christ each day. Second thing I want you to notice is that it's not only good for doctrine, but for reproof. Reproof is never as simple a simple yelling at someone that they're wrong, dumb, or obtuse, but rather about calmly submitting evidence that contradicts erroneous convictions. Both of my illustrations are Peter. You remember when the Lord said to Peter and the other disciples, they're going to take me, they're going to crucify me. And Peter grabbed hold, no! And the Lord said, He rebuked him and said, Peter, get thee behind me, adversary. By the way, can I ask you, don't call your husband, your wife, your kids the devil. Can I ask you not to do that? I realize, I think he said, you're an adversary. I don't think he was calling him the devil. The word, it means adversary. You're against me. You're going the wrong way than what I am. Don't call your kids. Don't call your spouse. Don't call your family the devil. That's not helpful. Notice, but Peter, when he's come to Antioch, was stood by Paul. He was withstood by Paul because Peter did some things he shouldn't have done. And you know what? The beautiful thing about Peter, did Peter go sook? Did Peter go sook? He said something mean to me. He corrected me in front of everybody else. You know what? He just took it and grew. Man, he went forward. He just kept going. Let's let that be us. I don't spend too much time on Facebook, but I see some things that are hilarious. So it's like when you think your pastor's following you around all week because the message hits right where you're at. It shows this dog just looking, where's the pastor at? Where's the pastor at? You know, sometimes the Word of God, hopefully on Sundays, but even in your devotions, you're going to think that the Lord was just following you around all day because of the things that it hits on. But that's what the beauty of it is. Can I read this to you? When God convicts us of going the wrong direction, it's not meant to destroy us. It's meant to refine us. When God brings conviction, it's not rejection, it's care. It's His gentle but firm hand of a loving Father shaping your heart, redirecting your steps, and drawing you closer. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. For correction. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It's the idea that gives right, you've broken a bone. How many of you have ever broken a bone before? besides me. I broke this. Well, I broke that one. And they left it taped to that finger and didn't think it was broken. And then they finally told me 2 weeks later it was broken. So that's why I look like Mork and Mindy all the time. But anyway, this one was broken. But you know what? Lots of times when a bone is broken, you have to reset it to get it to go right again. Well, you know what? After the Lord corrects us, He resets us. And lots of those verses are the put-offs and the put-ons. You put off lying and you put on telling the truth. You put off anger and you put on self-control. And it's a matter of resetting things. It's a repeated restoration or a correction upon an implied compromise. It's setting right that which was broken that it may heal properly. Asaph. Well, Peter, man, he got out of the way. He was wanted to stick his foot in his mouth, but he was willing to come back. Asaph, Psalm 73, got all discouraged, and then he said, "Lord, forgive me. I realize what's going to happen to them now. I was going the wrong way. You've corrected me now." And then the last thing is instruction in righteousness. The Lord wants to instruct us in the right way to go. He wants us to have hope in Him. He wants us to follow His leading in our lives. It is instruction in righteousness. It's putting off things, anger, wrath. And then it's putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Timothy, continue on, lastly, because of the potential of Scripture. Timothy didn't have to wait until he was 17, 18, 25 to start learning about God. It says there that from thou hast learned and been assured of that from a child. You know what? Our kids can learn about the Lord. Our kids can learn about the Lord. Now, and in fact, they can pick up things and they can memorize things. I'm so jealous when I go into RIs, religious instruction class. I'll write a verse on the board. Now, I'll make it a game with them, but by the end of the 10 minutes, they have a whole Bible verse memorized. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, isn't it wonderful that they can memorize a Bible verse in 10 minutes? And you know what? Our kids are not too learn. It's not too early to teach them about the Lord. I hope that we're teaching our children about the Lord. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The potential, His word helps to the child, to the person that knows a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and even to that person who is a mature believer. And so this morning, Timothy, keep on keeping on. And you know what? There's going to come a time where we can't be there for our family. We can't be there for others. What's going to be the thing is that they have the Scriptures. They have the Scriptures. Let's make much of the Scriptures in our lives. When the Lord puts His finger on a place, something in Kelly's life, I hope I have the humility to say, "You're right, Lord, not me." And let's walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your mercies and grace. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for the power of Your word. As Paul admonished Timothy to to continue on, to keep on keeping on. He appealed to the fact that the promise of Scripture is that it will help in every situation of life. We know that the Bible is your word, is from you, so it's your plan, and we can trust you. Your word has power to change us, to save us, to comfort us, to give us grace for whatever it is that we need in life. And your word's able to help us at no matter what age we are, young or old. Father, thank you for Paul's confidence in your word. And I pray that you'd help us to have that same confidence. And Lord, when you rebuke us, when you point out something in our lives that needs to be changed or we need to trust you more, help us not to get mad or sad, but Lord, to trust you, to do things your way. Help us to look at the opportunities that we have to share your word with those that are around us. Thank you for the power of your word, and I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. Let me ask you, did the Lord speak to you about something this morning? About something with his word? Is there something he's speaking to you that you need to do or not do? Or that you need to trust him with a certain situation in your life? Will you do that? Father, I pray that you'd use your word to change us, to make us more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask you to stand with me for our last one. Andrew, let's do the B-I-B-L-E and the Sunday School songbook. That was my fault. I didn't make that clear. Let's do that. Miss Erin, are you able to play that for us?
Sing both verses, please.
Thank you.
Now, if I mess up, you guys just keep going, okay?
B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I'll read and pray and then obey the B-I-B-L-E.
All right, thank you. And I won't be greeting everyone today. I just actually don't feel the best in the world. And so I love you to death, but I'm not going to greet folks today, if that's okay, because I don't want you to get how I'm feeling, all right? So if I can help at all through this week, please let me know. And if you'd like to talk to someone else, please, Mr. Benora's right there in the back, or definitely my wife as well. All right, let's give thanks for the day. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you dismiss us now in your care. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Love you guys, and we'll see you next time. There is plenty of bread next door.